Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
Achtung, America! As I say on the radio each week, we are always a world at war. So I'm broadcasting from my mountain stronghold and bunker in the mountains of Arizona. So we know history is draped in camouflage. Hope you enjoy the show tonight. All new callers get in the front of the line. This is the show where everything is on the table as a radio variety show, including the knives. The Von Wehhunt Show is on every Thursday night at 8 p.m., where we will discuss the news of the day, geopolitics, history, current events, you name it. Always catch the show on blogtalkradio.com or other internet sites that is out there. There are now pirate versions of the Von Wehhunt Show that have been cannibalized, that are all over the internet, from what I've been told. We are nationwide, and now in 25 countries, as our international audience keeps growing, as I've told you, and they want to know what real Americans think. Well, my friends, that's where we come in, because there's no filter between you, me, this studio in the world. There's no program director. There's no Twitter censor. There's no one telling us what to do. We tell them what to do. And the international audience is chomping at the bit to get around our media censors, to get around all the gatekeepers in our society, government. They are tuning in. Trust me when I say this. The numbers around the world are amazing, tuning into this radio show, because they know that we get a lot of calls and people talk from the heart and mind, and that's exactly what they want to hear. So glad you're here tonight. After the monologue, you can dial 563-999-3437. I call this show once in a while church. It's our church show, our sanctum, sanctorum, ancient, primordial, Gothic. Iconic, and very powerful. Yes. The studio is dimly lit tonight. Roman torches, banners and flags and artwork adorn the walls of the show. This is Epic Episode 99. We're on the threshold. The Easter blessing for the USA is our theme tonight with a star date, April 21st, 2022 AD. Another date of the show that will live in infamy, as always. He has risen. Make no mistake about that. Well, this show is being talked about on some social media platform, which is good. I've got a lot of email inquiries during the week, some calls, some text messages, some voicemails, and you know who you are out there in Radio Land. This is our Radio Cathedral, very powerful show. Sometimes people hear things that they deem offensive. So what? If you hear what you believe is propaganda or disinformation in a time of war, if that bugs you and bothers you, so what? I say grow up and grow a pair. Because truth is ever elusive in a time of war. Things aren't perfect. We post the news as best as we find it, as best as we vet it. It's a lot like the government. I don't hate the government. I simply never trust it as far as I can throw it. But I don't believe for a second that the local, state, or federal government has my or your best interests at heart, America. This week we learned that the Obamas have been kicked off Spotify. CNN Plus has been canceled, sacked, burned to the ground. Disney's special real estate deal and legal status in Florida has been revoked and removed by the Florida Senate and Governor DeSantis. And I call this a very good start for the week. Much more to come in that category. Now, our next show will be the 100th episode on Blog Talk Radio, and it will be our retro special. I want the most calls ever on the 100th episode. We'll have to trim the calls. You probably won't get as much time to speak. I'll do my best, but have your bullet points ready because we're always up against the clock on this show. You'll never get more airtime on any show other than my show. Because most talk shows might have you on for a minute or two at the most, and they cut you off because that's their program. But that's not my program. Mine's far, far different. As we do broadcasts from a galaxy far, far away, we're not following the norm. We're breaking the mold. We're not following what other rhino shows do. Let them follow the same template, the same boring template over and over again. Some cheesy commercial, one or two one-second phone calls, and a bloviating host that does nothing but talk about RNC talking points or what he heard on CNN or Fox News earlier in the day. Well, I would say this. There's a lot of talk about the Democrats and the Republicrats, as usual this week. But never forget this, America. The Democrats don't care about black people, as they claim. They only care, and write this down, about how they look, pretending to care about black people. And take that to the bank. And one person wrote in this week and said, the FBI don't really have time to stage any more false flags right now, because they are too busy sabotaging our food supplies in the country. Now, I did a lot of digging on this. This is very interesting. Farmers are getting letters from the USA, from the USDA. It's all over Gab and other and Twitter, to burn their crops and destroy their crops. It's really strange. Strange letters. I've seen them. They're paid, for example, to make things simple, they're paid $1 if they sell their crops to market. They're sold $1.50 for the same increment if they sell or if they destroy their crops. They're paid more to destroy than they are to sell. In my view, they're creating a food shortage in America, trying to manufacture one. They are not predicting food shortages. The government may be planning them. Some would say, oh, yes, that's the latest conspiracy theory. Well, riddle me this. 18 food processing plants in the United States, fact, have been burned down in the past 5 months. Coincidence or planned? Sabotage. Be prepared, folks, and take note for what someone out there or some entity or cabal is purposely doing. Most recently, there was a food plant burned in Oregon, one in California. These things are going on right now. So I've told you for years to get prepared, rotate the food, buy some extra every week. You're going to need it. In Livingston, Tennessee, this week, the mayor has decided that the month of April, which we're in now, has now been declared Confederate History Month. Now, this is a mayor who deserves to be a mayor. He acknowledges that the Civil War was never about the legality or illegality of slavery, which, by the way, was going on all over the world at the same time. The Civil War was about the central power, the federal government expanding itself into areas that were beyond the realm of the federal government. Now, I remind you that Abraham Lincoln suspended the Bill of Rights, Constitution, habeas corpus during the war. Your rights went out the window. That's why I'm not really a big fan of Lincoln, even though he is the father of the Republican Party. I'm a nationalist. I'm far, far beyond them. Because time has proven me right. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have seen these videos in Shanghai, China. I mean, Shanghai just today released 4 million people who were holed up in those hellhole apartments for 4 months. It's a living hell for all those people. Have you seen these videos on Twitter and elsewhere? Unbelievable. I mean, they're jumping out the windows just like 9/11. Supposedly by the hundreds. A lot of videos on Twitter about this, and I've seen them. Incredible footage. Sad and depressing. But yet, it's going on. Just amazing. Now, InfoWars and Alex Jones has unfortunately gone to Chapter 11 reorganization bankruptcy this past week, as Alex is having to open up his books to see how he would pay back any Sandy Hook lawsuits. Unbelievable. Well, KFNX, where I used to air, always had a local Alex Jones radio show, but I heard this past week when his show was about to air, they put something else in place of it. He's got a very good radio show. We give credit where credit is due. Alex was out there pounding the pavement decades ago. And I remember hearing about him when I was in Dallas back in the day, this guy in Austin, this young upstart named Alex Jones, working the streets of Austin. And you can go back on YouTube and see some of his early work. It's really cool. in the Ukraine, mighty Russia, under the Red Beast, Soviet Putin's armies are still pounding those Ukrainian unit positions. They're overwhelming them. The Russians don't really have great strategy or tactics or military capabilities and or training. What they are good about is taking a city or an area and they reduce it to mostly ash. So there's nothing left. That's how they fight, the Soviet way. Block by block, blow everything to bits, kill everything. Women, children, loving pets, grandma and grandpa, blown to smithereens, all livestock. The Soviet army, even though people say, well, they disbanded in 1991, no, you know, a tiger never loses its stripes. And don't forget, Putin is an old KGB colonel from the old Soviet system. So the Soviet Communist Army, all they bring to the table is death and destruction. But I wanted that to lead into something. I've been talking to people on Gab and elsewhere, and we have to talk about this again and reiterate a few things. It's pretty funny, actually, but people get visibly upset with me and the show and some callers and mad when I will say this, but I speak truth to power on my show, as you know. And I've told them that there's a Putin wing of the Democrat and the Republican parties. It's very, very big. They told many followers on Gab this past week, I do not think that St. Putin, that's my sarcasm there in quotes, is going to save me, you, or anyone else. Putin is an old murderous KGB colonel who wants the territory of Ukraine, simple as that. Now, there are people on the right wing and the left wing, but mainly the right wing, who just think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. They think it's wonderful that he blows up women and children, grandma and grandpa, because they believe he's the greater good. Now, I don't support an old KGB colonel or a communist government, and I also do not support the corruption of the Ukrainian government. Because right now, the article came out today, where's all the arms that we're sending over there? Somehow they're mysteriously not getting to the front. More weird and strange news from that part of the country, that part of the world. Let's hope they get there. But I don't support either regime. I am for the people and not their respective governments. Let's get that straight. If people can't wrap their heads around that concept, that is not my problem. And sorry, no, Vladimir Putin is not my personal hero, savior, or messiah. Sorry to burst your bubble out there in America, but I know that Putin would kill me and you and anyone else in a heartbeat if he could to further his agenda, because that is just who Vladimir Putin is. We've heard nothing but nuclear threats from Putin the last month, wanting to blow these same people up, I remind them, by a nuclear strike. He's constantly standing as a Satan II rocket. He's going to launch it. So Putin, your buddy, is not your friend. He's not your buddy. He wants to nuke your ass. I don't know how blunt I can make it. He wants to kill you. He wants to blow up America, whether you like it or not. You reside in it. You live here as well as I do. He's talking about it daily from the Kremlin. Now, I believe a lot of it's bluster. My point is this. You should not trust a man or think he's your buddy or friend who constantly is talking about nuking your country. I don't care who he is. Now, that little guy over there, Zelensky, he's got his own set of problems. But we'll get to him, too. Now, we have Americans, good Americans that are well-intentioned, well-meaning people. They're armed patriots. Some of these folks, you get a little, your nose bent out of joint this week by a few of my postings. They're a little misguided signs. And I told them, look, you don't have to listen to my radio show. We're not, I will reiterate this again. We're not trying to be the biggest radio show. We're really not. We're trying to be the best radio show, not the biggest. I want to make that distinction very clear. Most rhino shows are trying to be the biggest. They're looking at market share, more advertising dollars. I want a different route. We're trying to be the best show. We're trying to trump them, pun intended, in more ways than one. We're the real undercurrent. We have more reach globally than they do. But they don't know it yet, but they will. Now, we have people in America who want, I know it sounds hard to believe, but they want parts of America to look like Ukraine. They want our nation to get into a war zone. They want our nation to get shelled. Because then they feel that they can, I guess, accelerate their plans or take over. Now, I'll be on record again stating that I don't wish for this at all. But I tell everyone to be very careful what you wish for, guys. Because in life, you often get what you wish for, one way or the other, in my life experience. So be careful out there what you're wishing for. The Putin wing is very strong. Now, if you want to, if you don't like my show, then stop listening, turn the dial. I've told you guys before, some of you start your own show, start your own blog, and then you can talk about the glories of Putin 24/7. You can have people call in with all kinds of profanity, whatever you want to do. Do it on your time. I'm very anti-communist. I'll be blunt and succinct. Putin is a communist. I'm an anti-communist. Now, many people strongly feel that Putin is doing the right thing in Ukraine and all these cutard political fantasies of, you know, rescuing the children in the dumps and the biolabs. There is some biolab activity in the Ukraine, sure. But don't think Putin is saving the world. If he is your personal savior and Messiah, as some of you seem to state online, and if you feel that Putin is saving the world from the uber political elites and busting the biolabs down, busting down those doors, and getting rid and executing child traffickers in the underground dumps and tunnels, I want to speak with you tonight. If you're a big Putin fan, I want you to call the show tonight. I want to hear from you. I want to hear direct from the horse's mouth. I will give you airtime. You can dial 563-999-3437. If you believe that Putin's doing the right thing, call the show. Let's hear from you. They'll go online, vent, stand up like a man and deliver. Deliver the goods. So a lot of you guys just think it's just wonderful to see dead bodies everywhere. Ukraine was a beautiful country until Putin invaded it. I'll tell you a little secret. No one else is really here on the radio but us. But I'll tell you a little secret. In my view, I used to like Putin before he invaded Ukraine. He started a brother war, which goes against every fiber of my being. Zelensky's no saint either. But we're talking about Putin right now. Putin looked a lot stronger to me before this invasion. Putin actually was, in a weird way, kind of a checkmate internationally to Joe Biden and the Democrat Party. And I liked him in that role because Biden would do something stupid and then Putin would say something from the Kremlin a few days later. Or they would have some kind of a statement, which is kind of clever and sarcastic, maybe a little threatening. But it was, I thought it was pretty interesting. It's really bad. Think about this. It's really, really bad when the international media is promoting Biden, who has dementia, a senile old man, over Vladimir Putin, in the sense that Putin's got his mind more together before the invasion. I'm not sure who he was listening to, but that advice to go into Ukraine, and they were told it was going to be a 72-hour or very quick victory, put it that way. Within a week, he was going to be in the parliament at Kiev dictating war and peace, and Zelensky was going to be behind bars awaiting trial. That was his plan. And they told you that, and that leaked out. He really thought he would take the country in 2 or 3 days. It's now day 56. Did you know 75% of the Soviet forces, the Russian forces, are in Ukraine? It's a big country. And you need a lot of men to hold real estate. A lot of soldiers. They're getting picked off by the Ukrainian militias and armies. So it's weakened Putin. He was a lot stronger before the invasion. He also conned the world and made everyone think that his military was a lot bigger and a lot stronger and a lot tougher before the invasion. We've all now seen again Russian tactics, the same tactics that they used in World War II. Kill everything and blow everything up and torture who's left. That is a Soviet plan. Again, if you're a Putin guy, we want to hear from you on the show tonight. I am for neither regime, but I want to hear from those who are pro-Putin tonight. You can't say no one ever gave you a platform to speak from. So, moving on, we had a president a while back that talked a lot about these things. We've had Reagan, we've had Trump, we've had JFK back in the day, a conservative Democrat. I wanted to play you something here to kind of refresh your memory that JFK said about the secret societies that rule America.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices.
That's right. Well, the left, the militant left in America, has been saying exactly what they plan to do for decades. They want to destroy our country and instill a death wish, especially in the white European population. They do not want them to procreate or have families. They want to set majorities against market-dominant areas of our economy, atomize everyone. They are pretty much done. They have destroyed the country from within. Domestically, we're a shell of what we once were. It's only a matter of time before the ultimate takeover and the real battle begins. There's an old saying, there's everything under the sun will be made available to you at the appropriate time. And I mean that. Right now, the Democrats, the Democrat Marxist Party, they're not afraid of anything. They control a lot of our society. They control a lot of the academia, the government. They will try to control your schools, your school boards. They'll bully the parents, we've seen on the news, tell you to go home. Hell, they've even brought in the police and the FBI to arrest parents. Talking to school boards. They don't want you to meddle in their affairs. They want you to sit there in the corner, shut the F up, and take it. That is all they want out of these so-called conservatives in the country. Same time they have this media going on, media clown show. Biden makes one gaffe after the other. It was very obvious he's not fit for duty. He's probably only cogent for about hours a day. They could put me in his slot. The very next day I could run circles around the guy, and I could do a hell of a lot better job than him with 50 years of government experience under his belt. I guarantee that. This is all kabuki theater, and all the ticket takers are in on it. I've said this before, and I, God forbid if this ever happens, But it's so bad, my mind starts to wander at times. And I apologize to some of you. My phone rings. I don't always hear it. I'm thinking, or I don't hear it. But I wouldn't put it past them, the deep state, to set off a small nuclear device in an American town or city and try to blame it on Putin or Russia, or just to distract you from what's really going on in the undercurrent, or to blame it on white supremacists in the suburbs. They'll blame it on the Nazis. They'll blame it on the MAGA crowd, the Trump supporters, whatever. Anything to distract. I don't put anything past the deep state. Now, speaking of the deep state, on January the 6th, let us never forget, of the infamous year 2021, the so-called, quote-unquote, insurrection. The government invited the Trumpers into Washington, D.C. They were not armed and not violent. Then the government added in 20 or so federal agents of its own, put them into the mix, who were armed. They were disguised as Trump supporters, allegedly, of course. And these guys were violent, again, allegedly. Then they called it an insurrection to frame Trump and his Trump supporters at the political rally. We know the truth, America, and our people are still under lock and key there in Washington, D.C. jail. Have not been released yet. Unbelievable. Still going on. If I was president, I would release them as the first act, first microsecond, they're all released. Then I would turn it on Putin and tell him, I challenge you, Vladimir Putin, to release your political prisoners over in Moscow. How about those apples? See what he does. Well, so glad you're tonight, folks. Got a big show for you. Let's just face it, America. Putin's war gamble is not going as planned. We want to hear from any pro-Putin people out there. But the war in Ukraine sets Vladimir and Russia back by default. Right now, as I said, 75% of Russia's forces are still in the Ukraine area. Unbelievable what's going on. The biggest land battle in the Donbas since World War II has already started. But we're living in the USA. We're living here under our so-called protective dome. We'll see how long it lasts. The Von Wien Show. We're ready to start our engines. Get your crash helmet on, America. Strap in. We're ready for a big show tonight. That's right. How about those cheeseburgers in America? The best. We make the best. With that, let's get to the gunslinger in Texas, the great state of Texas. Get over there. Gunslinger, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I was just watching the nice spring weather come in and out. Pretty good here so far. It's, I got a chance of rain here, but hey, it's, you know, it's just Texas. What do you expect? You know? But,
so how's the weather up there in Dallas? Is it like tornadoes or just like nice spring weather?
Well, right now it's just nice spring weather. I think we got some thunderstorms moving in Sunday night and into Monday, but I don't think they're calling for nothing severe at this point. But it's still possible, you know, because like I said, it's spring. So that's when the most tornadic activities, I guess, do occur in this area during the spring. But, you know, when you talk about Putin, okay, for a second, you know, that just amazes me. He says he's testing a new nuclear tip missile or something like that. Okay?
Missile. And nuke America.
Yeah, nuke
America.
Wants
to kill us all. Well, yeah, F you, Putin.
Yeah. And turn everything into a glass parking lot. And he wants to use the nuclears or the nukes on Ukraine over there. Well, you know, if he wants that country back so damn bad, you think he's going to turn it into a glass parking lot? I don't think so. Okay.
Oh, he will.
Why would he?
He's the type to cut off his nose to spite his face. Oh, yeah. Well, look at Chernobyl. They effed that up. I mean, biggest nuclear disaster since Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still operational. So would he nuke Ukraine? Sure he would. I don't agree with these people in our government that said, oh, he'll never do that. He'll never, same people have said, he'll never invade the Ukraine. Don't ever trust people that say never. It's an absolute word, which is more often than not absolutely wrong. Now, I know Putin has some more cool-headed people around him, like me, for example, who would tell him, you're nuts, Vlad. If you pull that trigger, I'm flying out of here, buddy. Good luck when the missiles come, you know. But I'm just saying, I don't put anything past, no. I mean, the guy doesn't care. He will use whatever he needs to use. He's in a corner. He has to fight his way out of it. And I see him doing anything. What say you?
Well, you know, like I said, anything is possible. But, you know, to do that is going to be, it's like a suicide mission. I mean, he uses those nukes, and he's gonna get nuked himself. Not in Ukraine, but right there in good old Russia. Okay, they're not, you know.
Maybe he's suicidal. Maybe Putin is suicidal.
It's always, you know, like I said, it's always possible that these people that they want, he may want to go out in a blaze of glory. You know, who knows?
He might.
You know, he might. There's always that.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, yes, that's true. You never know. But in normal crazy people, I guess, if there's such a term as normal crazy people, you really don't want to mess up your land that you're going to conquer. You know, that goes throughout history. You don't want to mess that land up. If you want to conquer it and you want to claim it as yours, I mean, you don't want it to go, you don't want everything, plants coming out of the ground glowing and animals glowing. That wouldn't be a very good thing. Okay? look around Chernobyl. Yeah, look around Chernobyl. Now, I have to give the Russian government credit because when that thing blew, okay, they sent in the Russian army, okay? They had to go in. They could only spend like maybe 10, 15 minutes, and they rotated them out because of the extreme radiation levels. Now, I got to give them credit for that. That was a good move to try to contain that thing and, you know, still containing it today. But look at the area around that area. What is it, 100 square miles all over the place? It's just worthless. It's,
mm-hmm.
You can't even go there, okay? So, you know, that is a bad thing all the way around. I don't care how you look at it, which way you look at it. Nuclear is not a good thing. Nuclear energy is not a good thing. We got three of them now. What is it? Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, and then Fukushima. Okay, the gift that keeps on giving. Okay, as the old saying goes. So I don't know. You know, it's one of those things. But you know, when they say, well, you know, actually only happens once every 100 years. Well, okay, if that's true, then it could be every 100 years. But the lasting effects of that accident will last for 10,000 years. That's the problem, okay? 10,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one way or the other. Talk about our glorious leader, the clown, for a second. Did you see that latest video that he had where he was going up there on the podium and giving – he was mumbling and babbling and all, you know. He never knows where he is, right? But then he finishes the speech, and he turns, and he's, like, going to shake all these people's hands – and there's nobody there. There's nobody there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that? He puts his hand up like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, waiting to shake all everybody's hand, and there ain't a freaking soul there within 30 feet of him. And he just walks around just aimlessly. Like, okay, I need somebody to shake my hand, please. Shake my hand. My God.
Right.
You got to be kidding me. That is the most... We know. We all know that he's just a puppet, and he's not running the show. There is no way a person in that mental state, okay? Hell, we all may get that way when we get that old. But for him, that is not. He should not be running anything, okay? He can't even change his diapers, for God's sakes. Okay, come on, really? All right. So there's got to be the shadow government. Oh, there ain't no such thing as a shadow government. Well, then you tell me who the hell's running the show. It damn show ain't. I like to call him old poopy pants, okay? Because he ain't running that show. And the hoe, she ain't even got enough sense to get off her back much time, okay? So who is running this? Who's running this country? Okay, it's not them two clowns. That's for damn sure. So who in the shadow government is running the show? Could it be Bud Buddy, Obama? What do you think?
Well, I think Obama's pulling a lot of strings. I definitely do. And I think a lot of the people in the middle you've never heard of, I've never heard of, and they want to keep it that way. I think Obama's probably running, pulling a lot of strings, and the CIA is really running the country. They have been for decades. The president is just a figurehead with limited powers. But they put on the airs that they have more powers than what they have. Now, as a president, you can get more power. And the way you do that is you got to bring in your own mafioso. You got to bring in your own guys and put them in key positions. You know, Trump barnstorming the country. You're on a constant campaign mode. And you barnstorm. Talk to every locale, every city and town. You bombard the airwaves, like the Von Wien show. Bombard the airwaves. Pound it out there. And that's how you get your message out. You know, because the one thing the president can do, I love to focus on what we can do and not what we can't do. The president can get in front of the cameras at any time and host a news conference and get all over the world within seconds.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know. And so he has that power.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just getting back to what you were talking about, I mean, it's been going on for a long, long time, gunslinger. You know, this country's in dire straits, you know.
Well,
so
here's a quick...
what are your thoughts about that and everything else in the monologue?
Well, you know, it seems like the entire justice system is falling apart as well. Have you noticed the up in shootings lately? Not just in one area, but all over the country. I mean, this is getting this is getting dangerous. Okay, and you know, thank God, I think it was Georgia that just climbed on board with the constitutional carry. Yay for Georgia! Okay, the rest of them need to follow.
Right.
Okay. So, but I've noticed this. I mean, Houston, Arizona had a big shootout a few days ago. I mean, it's all over the place. It's like you can't turn around twice. What is getting into these people? Okay, we know that that the coronavirus is supposedly running down and everything. Okay, great, and they lifted the mask mandate. Great, okay, you know, but this crime situation is getting out of control. Don't you think?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like I told people, I said if we're having this much crime, when if you think about it, things are relatively good. Relatively is the key phrase there. In other words, the dollar hasn't crashed. Real estate's high. Stock market's high. There's a job around every corner if you want one. The dollar hasn't crashed. Commodities have gone up in value. Well, that adds to inflation. My point is overall, Biden inherited a pretty good economy from Trump. He's now effing it all up royally. But my point is, we're having this much crime when things are relatively good. We haven't been nuked yet. We have no Fukushima plant in America emitting radiation yet. Knock on wood. That never happens. We have plenty of food. If you're willing to work, you can buy food. You don't have to starve. That's a personal choice for many people. Let's try to fix income maybe, but even then. My thing is, I always tell folks this, wait until things get worse. If you think we have bad crime now, use an exponential factor of 100 or 1,000. Now, if you take that trajectory out, you can easily see where you will need guns and ammo to protect your home.
Absolutely.
Because there will be groups of people who will be trying to get into your home, get into your compound. They'll surround it. You know how I know that? They said it. These groups have said that. They're on YouTube. I track these people. And they say, we're not going to buy anything. You know, just type in like Civil War, right, on the YouTube. They go, we're going to let you buy everything. You are going to be the one that's going to prepare. And we know which house to go to in case it hits the fan. And then we're going to go to your house, kill you, and take your gear and food. And that's a lot of people's plan, to be blunt. So I tell you, folks, you could have the best preparations in the world. You could have the best compound, but if you're not protected, if you don't have any guns, or if you aren't in a crew or in a militia, or at least guys you trust that have got your back, not good. Yeah, you can fend off 5 or 10, but these guys say that they're going to come to your house 20, 30, 40, 50 guys all carrying guns. So I've seen them train. They're on YouTube. Oh, yeah. Pretty interesting stuff. So when you go down some of those rabbit holes, people will tell you, I always say, they'll tell you what they're going to do. All I do is I find it, and I go, okay, these groups are going to take from us, from my audience. That's their plan. It's like Middle Ages stuff. It's like medieval warfare. I mean, we're not going to do anything. They're going to sit around and lollygag while we're in the castle, and then they're going to have a castle siege. They're going to surround the castle where all the water, the well, the food, the lovely maidens are, your children maybe, your weapons, your gold, your silver. They want to do a castle siege and take it all over.
Exactly.
So I warn people, that is some people's strategy. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap, like the AC/DC song, Gunslinger.
Well, you know, also they, you know, I was just reading a couple of things down in Florida, and I think the county is Polk County. It'll be my last point. And they had this 16-month drug and weapons bust, and they arrested like 75 people, and they had all, you know, they had all the this police chief, and he, oh yeah, here's Mr. So and so, and Mrs. So and so did this, and on my left here is the other people that did such a good job. Okay, great for you, but what about the tens of thousands that you got away? What about those people?
That's right.
I mean, You see
That's
how
right.
they boast? Just 75 people. Okay, I'm glad you got these people. I'm glad you put them away. Absolutely. You know, more power to you. But when you get up there and just, you know, fluff your feathers, okay, and, you know, and all the people that out there that are dealing the same thing, if not more, okay, and especially these gangs, you know, MS-13, all these other gangs and all this other garbage out there, you send them to prison, and, hey, they're just walking into welcome arms. Hey, it's family to them. So
that's right.
You know, isn't that's terrible. That's absolutely ridiculous. You know, go ahead.
It really is. It really is. And Gensler, just to firm up here, about to get back to our original topic there on Putin and Zelensky, I tell people I hate them both. Okay. I am the equal opportunity offender. We hate everybody. Until they prove us otherwise on this show. We love the Russian people. We love the Ukrainian people. People say, how can you do that? Simple. Ukrainian people are being invaded by the Russian army. They are being attacked, and I would be just like them, fighting for my home and territory. The Russian people are being conscripted. They're being lied to. Their sons are being sent to the front to die for Putin. There's mass... Putin has his censors out. He's suppressing the people. So the Russian people, though many support Putin, are fighting their own war. And you heard it here first. I think this Ukrainian war, and no one's saying this but me, I believe the Ukrainian war is going to be the start of the undoing of Vladimir Putin and his regime. I can see a day where, well, I had a dream last night that there were guerrilla groups in Moscow shelling the Kremlin. I see groups out there that might become very hostile if this goes on and on and on. I think the Russian people are not wanting to go back. And I think that they're going to have a lot of problems domestically in that country. So that's my own prediction. Not going to happen right away. But I can see that happening within the next 4 or 5 years, if not sooner. I can see some major disruptions over there, put it that way. But, Gunslinger, thanks so much. Have a great night, man. We will talk again soon, okay?
All right, you too. Have a good evening.
Thanks, sir. Have a great night. Gunslinger there for the Great Republic of Texas. Folks, we're glad you're here tonight. 563-999-3437. We'll get to some more calls here, I promise you, after this promo.
And under the direction of Von Weehunt, we will commence bombing tonight on the North Vietnamese communist forces. Our B-52s are airborne, arriving at their destination targets. Communism be damned, we must prevail. And God bless America.
Tricky Dick Nixon. I just love that guy. Well, this is what he sounded like back in the day.
It's in up to the hop, to the hip, to the hop, to the hip. Henry, what can I do for you?
Well, sir, I've come in. I've got to tell you some things right away.
All right.
What is it you're doing? You are saying some words or something.
Oh, I'm checking out this hip-hop thing, the hip to the hippity hip to the hop.
Sir, I really need to talk to you right now.
All right, Henry, you know I always have time for you. Always have time for you. Yeah, buddy.
Sir, please.
That's all right. Now, what have you got to tell me right now?
Well, there's people in the streets that are rioting, lighting things on fire. It is very serious out there. Very serious. And action needs to be taken in a good way.
It looks like I picked the wrong week to stop popping barbiturates.
Oh boy!
I'll tell you, Henry said, let's put our heads together here and go over to the radio. Let's turn the radio on. Let's get a beat on what's going on with the nation. Let's turn on Von Weehunt right now.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Awesome. With that, I think we have a new caller on line 3 here. Welcome to the Von Weehunt Show. What is your name and where are you from? You're live on air.
Hi, Von Wehunt. Yes, my name is Kevin, and I reside in the Phoenix area. I'm 26 years old, and I identify as a nationalist, as yourself.
Nice, Kevin. And awesome, man. Now, do you go by a handle or a nickname?
I run an organization called Nationalists United, and it's of an international scope and focused on the best interests of the nation itself. The core tenet of nationalism is to, you know, do the best for your people, preserve their best interests. So Nationalists
absolutely.
United.
Well, Kevin, welcome to the show, man. We're glad to have you on the Von Wehunt Show. Tell us more about your organization, how people can reach you, and what are your thoughts tonight about geopolitics and current events as well? Go ahead, sir.
Well, yes, if you'd like to reach me, you can find me on social media as Nationalists United or Telegram Nationalists_United, and we'll take a very public perception in the near future. Right now, I'm currently involved in the political field, especially Republican politics, or as I often call it, repugnant in politics, because it's a very disgraceful field, if as you, I'm sure, know.
Yes.
So, this country,
so what do you do? Do you do canvassing? Do you do research? Or?
Well, I don't want to let off too much right now. We're currently in a campaign season right now for a very well-known previously government official now running for a different position. Hell, your listeners won't mind. Okay, so I'm the protege of Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the Maricopa County, Arizona.
Awesome.
He's currently
mayor
of his hometown.
Yeah.
So I've been around for 3.5 years under his wing, learning the ropes, so to speak, and it's I get to see how the media works, how diplomacy works, how the inner gears of politics come together, and it's we're in dire straits as a country, and not just the country, but the Western world and the whole world, I would say. I think especially in American politics, we've been led astray. We've been given a false compass, as I call it. We've been led the wrong direction. And I very well believe that, you know, nationalism is the way to solve this. If people understood how to preserve their own people's best interests, if they understood that they ought to care about the security and preservation of their people, of their culture, the traditions that built the country. That country is what made their civilization prosper. And it's very sad how we've been led in the very opposite direction, and that's globalism. Not just America, but I believe every Western country is being led astray. There needs to be a turning around.
I totally agree. Love that. So is it fair to say you're working on the Sheriff Joe campaign, like you said?
Yes, that's right. He's running for mayor of his hometown of Fountain Hills. He unfortunately lost his last election, which I was also coordinating for the sheriff of Maricopa County. He's been the pioneer of countless programs that have benefited the county, and not only that, but the country. Just a fun fact is he's deported 250,000 illegal immigrants in his time, and that accounted for a quarter of all illegals in the country that were deported were from his own county. And not to mention the drugs that have come into the country itself that have been mitigated through his enforcement, and of course the social change that his law enforcement office has contributed to the country. You know, cleaning up the prostitution rings, the drug rings, the pervasive crime of property damage and damage to your own people. I mean, I very strongly believe that law enforcement, when done right, it protects the law-abiding citizen more than any other office. And the sheriff's office The sheriff himself is the chief law enforcement officer of his county. He is the first line of defense protecting the Constitution of the United States of America. So when you hear about all these attacks on the Constitution, these gun-grabbing bills, these lockdown mandates, you name it, it's the sheriff himself that is that first line of defense between the Constitution and the people. It's very important, because what we're seeing right now is a war on cops. We're seeing a war against the law-abiding American. We're seeing the criminals, not just this country, but other countries as well, that are being given a slap on the wrist, being let out of prison, mostly through these district attorney offices, and these governors are letting these restrictions fly, as in what the law had set aside. Like, the judges had said, these criminals get a certain amount of time in prison, but they're getting let off, and this is a tremendous problem on our country, because we're seeing a rise in crime, we're seeing a rise in social ailments on our country, and it's the sheriff himself that is that first line of defense, and I try to get him back into that sheriff's office. He was defeated by the now incumbent Democrat sheriff who took away all of his programs. I could talk a little bit about that.
That's right.
But it's a shame to see how happy and how set the Democrat and even Republican, they're both to blame, how they've terribly damaged our country through their policies, and they abide by the status quo, all of them, every one of them. You may see in these Turning Point USA organizations or other conservative organizations, they'll say, Sheriff Lamb or Sheriff Mack, Sheriff Brady, or Sheriff Judge, or all these sheriffs are great, they're protecting us. No, none of them are protecting us. They're doing exactly as every other sheriff is doing, abiding by this, this very malicious agenda, and they're being praised for doing absolutely nothing. These illegal aliens are not being deported. They're being sent all throughout our country. They're getting, the welfare benefits, absolutely being treated as first-class citizens, and the citizens themselves being treated as second-class citizens. And the damage is phenomenal. The kinds of the recklessness from these illegal populations of people, they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, and moreover, it's a big problem when they're working. Some people say that it's nice to see a working population enter a workforce. No, that's not true, because what they're doing is they're through their cheap labor and through other malicious means, they're out competing with the you and me, the average workers, or whoever works small businesses. They're disadvantaging these people from their livelihoods, and these businesses are having major problems. As businesses today especially are having a very major problem staying afloat, and that's all part of the agenda to get us out of our livelihood and advantage a population of people that do not belong here. And that's another thing that made Sheriff Joe so prominent, is as far as American history is concerned, is the most aggressive law enforcement officer, especially when it comes to immigration. He would raid businesses. If he got intel that there is illegals in a certain business, he'll send his deputies, arrest the illegals. He would, let the owners of the businesses that allowed those illegals to work there to be held accountable as the law states. And in most every case, that business would be shut down for said illegal practices. And that's a good thing for the businesses that are playing fair, that they want to hire their own people that do abide by the law. They are citizens that contribute to the tax money of the country. This money is going towards the public services that services that we need in these towns. It goes towards the roads and trash and police and et cetera. And the legal immigration population, they're not paying these taxes. What they're doing is they're sending their money back to their home country. We're seeing a dramatic decrease of our own money here in the country, and it's leaving the country for people that and their families that do not belong here. And Sheriff Joe himself was the most critical and aggressive proponent of how this illegal operation has transpired on our people. You can't just simply be passive about law enforcement. You need to be active. And there's something called community policing. This is a very important concept, because it's important to realize that when you say, let's say you are enforcing traffic violations, for example, you pull over a car.
Okay.
Well, you're not simply just going to write them a ticket for that traffic violation. What you're going to do is find out, well, hey, are you a citizen of this country? He was one of the leaders of the SB 1070, that Senate bill that was notorious. Democrats called it the show me your papers laws. Well, community policing is not simply allowing other violations to transpire. You make sure that your citizens are protected in all these other fields. You want to make sure that they're not intoxicated, they're not in the country illegally, so what we're seeing today is an absolute passive approach to law enforcement, and this is across the country. Especially in California, you're noticing that when unless there's a warrant for someone's arrest for a specific purpose, there's no active approach. There's no stopping and finding out the status of these, especially illegal immigrants or other law affecting peoples. So to get back to the point here is that there's a dramatic conspiracy, an overarching agenda to allow for these illegal immigrants and other non-law-abiding peoples to take precedence over the law-abiding citizen. And that's something that nationalism takes a very strong approach against, that the peoples of this country, the citizens that made and built and preserve and that are wed to the land of this country, their rights and their ability to have a job, a living, and to continue to have their posterity, their children, to live in such a great country that they built. Well, these law offenders, these illegals, they don't have any of those notions of being wed to the land. They're here for mostly economic purposes, for the welfare and for these, for the labor that they could get here that they maybe can't get in these other countries. And it's a big problem. Some people say that there's no political solution, but I strongly advise against that. A political solution means that's the using government to enforce, a way of policy, a way of governing the country itself or another area. So if, the candidates, I think pretty much across the board are pretty awful, but if we do have the proper candidates and framework, there is an ability to change things, and I abhor violence. I don't believe in this. I believe in a court of law. I believe that, the law is the way of, reconciling a lot of these issues. And if we're to descend into anarchy, we're going to have more problems than we have now. So I do believe that there is a political process, but the political process at the moment is very broken. It needs to be amended.
Right.
It's going to take a mass movement and, very smart people and very strong leaders to make that happen. And there's plenty of instances in the past throughout history of strong leaders coming to power and fixing things through, a political system. And especially as it pertains to law enforcement, You know, when the law breaks down and the laws are not being enforced, you're descending into anarchy, or even worse, what we call anarcho-tyranny, and that's essentially the selective enforcement of the law. This is that the law may pertain to the citizen of the country, that, you know, you'll be penalized for something that this new law imposes against you. But this law doesn't apply to, say, these illegal aliens or these, you know, certain classes of people or ethnic groups of people. There's a selective enforcement of the law. The judges are arbitrarily selecting who they penalize and who they let off the hook. This is a very dangerous concept, and I believe a fair court of law and, you know, a movement to fix these ailments on our political system would make a tremendous impact, and more people need to understand the gravity of the situation. We're in dire straits, and it needs to change now.
Kevin, that was well said, man. And, you know, I agree with everything you said. When people come on the show, I'll give them a platform. And if you're on a roll, which you were, that's awesome. Everything you said is fantastic. I'm a big fan of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I met him several times here in various political circles, voted for him every single time. He'll get vote if I can ever vote for him again. If you can arrange him to come on the show, maybe this late summer or fall, be glad to have him. Be awesome to have the sheriff. He and I have met before. He's met thousands of people, but I'm sure he forgot me. He's met, you know, my God.
Oh, everyone says that, but
you never know.
Extremely surprised.
He's a great guy, and he's a icon, as you know, a legend in Arizona. For those of you outside the state, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. It's called the American, or the nation's sheriff, right? He is loved in the state,
America's
admired,
sheriff.
And supported. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, he's America's toughest sheriff. That's his official title. You could.
That's
you
right.
Google
America's toughest sheriff.
That's right.
Yeah, so we're a big fan of Sheriff Joe and what you're saying. And I've advised folks for years that our borders are way out of control. And Americans need to prepare, and Arizonans, we're a border state. And this will be a banner year. There's been 3 million illegals, it's been reported, that have come in that we know of since January of this year. 3 million. It's been amazing. So this is going to implode at some point. What do you see as the future of America with this rampant, uncontrolled chaos at the border in our immigration? Legal and illegal, by the way.
Well, you bring up a great point, and I think what's important to realize is that never in the past, you know, several decades, and basically never, have there been motions to fix the situation at our border. There is Congress does not do anything. These presidents do not do anything. They're often paraded for, you know, maybe putting up a wall or not even a wall. I mean, these are metal slats that this is not proper border security. They're putting maybe a Band-Aid on the issue at best. So I believe it's going to get worse before it gets better, because there's no action that's being done. And every election cycle, you'll see these politicians go down to the border, stand in front of this chicken wire fence that doesn't stop anybody, not even, you know, any 300-pound woman could, you know, easily walk across the border. And the point is there's no border security, and they're just being led into this country, and there's nothing, and I mean nothing, being done about it. And every election cycle, you'll see politicians say they're going to do something about it every time, and nothing's done. So, and of course, the legal immigration issue is a severe problem as well, because, you know, as you can see, there's a labor market that needs to be filled, and these politicians aren't deciding that they're going to have their own citizens fill these jobs. They're not going to you know, invest in their own citizens. They're often bringing in a very cheap labor force from other countries. And I very much believe that not only are these other, you know, foreign peoples, they're displacing American citizens. And it's a problem, not just economic, but it's social. We're seeing a complete change in our culture, our demographic makeup of this country. And these people, as I said before, are not wed to this country. They could deal with this country decaying at a tremendous extent. You know, many times these third world countries, they're pretty bad, and they don't mind how bad those countries are as far as a, you know, a standard of living and they're just a social way of life. You know, I very much believe that we ought to, you know, always invest in our people first. And you know, when these jobs need to be filled, we ought to look towards the people. For example, just a small example is, you know, why not allow for our young population to pick up these jobs? Why must we, you know, have people south of the border fill these jobs? And that's just simply not investing in your own people, as a small example. So what's really important is that, you know, cheap labor is always a disadvantage, you know, regardless of what kind of cheap labor it is. But what's really important is, I think, quality. I think what made America so impactful in world history is a concept called American exceptionalism, that we are the best at what we do. We knew the crafts and the sciences and the business and that, you name it, you know, and that's gone away to a very large extent. That exceptionalism isn't the goal anymore. The goal is often making the most cheap goods at the cheap price, and to have a planned obsolescence of these goods so they break down quickly, so you buy more product again. Inflated prices, we're seeing the inflation is absolutely out of hand as it's designed to at this
point. Out of control.
Maricopa County itself, as I'm sure you know, is hit hardest in the country as far as the inflated prices, especially just the goods that you buy at the grocery store are going up tremendously. I'm not seeing so much of a scarcity, but man, is there these inflated prices? You know, anyone I think could vouch for the inflation in the real estate market, the rents, and is just astronomical, especially in these university towns. You're seeing just a tremendous inpouring of foreign peoples into these college towns, and that just skyrockets these prices of rent, and they're building more, you know, apartment complexes, mini condominiums even, you know, skyscrapers of mini condominiums just to fit all these people in, and they maybe spend upwards of $2,000 for a basic one bedroom, and that's a little extreme case, but it's astronomical. Mm-hmm. I mean, the American people used to be a family. A man would be able to provide for his family on a single, you know, budget job, on a single job, have a house, have a car, have a decent standard of living, because back then the country did invest in their people, and they did prevent this very, you know, vulture capitalism taking place. And that's essentially the absolute speculation on, let's say, the housing market. You're seeing absolutely transnational corporations are just buying up property after property and selling it off to, say, you know, directly targeting Chinese investors or other foreign populations of people. So you're seeing just an influx of foreign peoples into the country that would otherwise, you know, be invested into the own people, the citizens of the country. And this transcends more than just the housing market. It just transcends our entire way of life. And we're seeing something that Victor Davis Hanson had said. He's over professor at Hillsdale College. He said that when multiculturalism is a good example, that when Yes, that when standards are relative, there are no standards at all. When you have a whole global population of people living amongst a very limited scope, area, and they all have different customs and morals and beliefs and ways of life, there's just no, standard to, there's no standards. It's very relative morals when it used to be a very community-based, centered country. The citizens of this country had very vibrant communities. And we're seeing, especially the home population, are being very atomized. They're being very divided. And I think that especially multinational corporations, these transnational corporations are, they like this because it prevents union building. They don't want to give their home population, the citizens of this country, fair wages, the labor rights. They would prefer for those, relative morals of the relative standards of these foreign peoples, such as, a low wage and low, standards of working. And that's just,
right.
As we can see in their bottom line, is that especially during these lockdowns and just as we're becoming more of a globalist nation state, that
we are.
These
really
are. They're tremendously increasing in wealth. I mean, the figures are astronomical.
Right.
There's a squeezing out of the middle class, and that hurts the country tremendously. That the middle class is scraping by check by check. And,
the Republicans love immigration for the cheap labor. To kind of sum up, and the Democrats want the votes, right?
That's right.
I mean, yeah, you have we're definitely going to be talking more. We're going to have you on the show more. So I want to encourage you to call back, and I could talk to you for hours. Excellent call, man.
Likewise.
How do folks reach Nationalists United again? And let's pitch that and get it out there.
Well, you could just type in Nationalists United in your social media. That's just the best way to do it. We'll have a very more public presence in the not far future. Me and many of my colleagues are very busy in real world life and in campaigning, et cetera. But you will find what we believe in social media. Just type in Nationalists United. You'll find us. And,
okay.
And thanks for having me on the show.
Is there a special website that you got?
Oh, yes, sure. Nationalistunited.org would be the best place to go, or nationalistunited.com for more ideological purposes.
Perfect. Kevin, I want to thank you for calling the Von Wien Show. We appreciate you. Love talking to you. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure. And I really appreciate your input tonight and your intel. And we support Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his campaign. So I know he'll do well out there in Fountain Hills.
That's right. It was an absolute pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for all that you do. And stay nationalist, my friend.
You got it. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you. Have a wonderful night. Thanks a lot. So that was Kevin from Nationalists United. Excellent call there. A new caller to the show. He's working on the Sheriff Joe Arpaio campaign. And we hope Sheriff Joe, of course, he's so popular in Arizona, he'll win by a landslide. Fountain Hills. He damn well better, and I know he will. Kevin, that's some great points. We want to talk to him more and more. Got some more calls here we need to get to. Some of you guys are very – I have the smartest callers on the planet, so I can talk to you guys for hours, but unfortunately we're up against the clock. So we'll get to the Gladiator next, and after this brief promo – so get a cocktail, get a beer, get an adult beverage. I shall be back momentarily.
Mr. America, walk on by your schools that do not teach. Mr. America, walk on by the minds that won't be reached. Mr. America, try to hide the emptiness that you incite. But once you find that the way you lied and all the corny tricks you tried will not forestall the rising tide of hungry freak daddies. They won't go for no more great Midwestern hardware store. Philosophy that turns away from those who aren't afraid to say what's on their minds. The left behind of the great society. Supermarket dream. Mr. America, walk on by the liquor store supreme. Mr. America, try to hide the product of your savage pride, the youthful mind that it denies. The day you shrugged and stepped aside, you saw their clothes and then you cried. Those hungry freak daddy.
And the Mothers of Invention back in the day, love that song. It's called Hungry Freaks. That's what we are on the Von Wien Show. We're hungry for knowledge. We thirst for wisdom. But we often find that we often have it on this show. And then in the final analysis, there's really not much to search for, is there? Because you came to the right place. You came to the show that always delivers the goods. Always here for you, America. New callers like Kevin. I find them on the studio board. Thought that might be him. You will get on the air. You will broadcast to the nation. I will give you every opportunity. Because I believe that people have a right to express themselves. Whatever venue that they choose. Well, don't you get it yet, America? Are you aware that you are a debt slave at a tax farm run by your fellow human overlords and a dysfunctional uncle named Uncle Sam? Did you pay your taxes? The deadline was Monday. I paid mine to get Uncle Sam off my back. If you didn't, then you're screwed by the IRS. They will release the hounds on you. And then you'll be like the fox in the British fox hunt as the redcoats will chase you through the forest. And good luck to get out of that one. Well, just some brief comments here before we get to our next caller. The pandemic, Mr. and Mrs. America, as I've told you, is to force you to get the vaccine. The vaccine, the beast vaccine, is to force you to get the vaccine passport. Yes, we know. And the passport is to force you to get the social credit. The social credit score is to force you, Chinese style, to obey the government. Ask people of Shanghai about that. The government can then deny you food, medicine, access to housing, work, travel, and even your personal health care. God forbid. You are then nothing more than a highly controlled slave, serf, and peasant, which was always their goal for you. With that, let's get to Paul the Gladiator from his compound in the North Valley of Phoenix. Paul, are you there tonight, sir?
Always here, every night. What's going on?
Nice, man. The Gladiator. Well, been a good show, and this call is always going to be a good one. What are your thoughts tonight about anything? Shoot for the hit, man. We're all listening.
Okay, let's do this. Kevin, I will be reaching out to you at Nationalist United, by the way. Well-spoken young man. So, all right, I got three things. All right. First, have we ever not failed to learn from our past here in this country? So not everybody's been watching.
That's a loaded question.
I know. Not everybody's been watching what's been going on here out of Washington, out of Biden's administration, which I like to call, by the way, I'll talk about this in a minute with the gunslinger. This is actually the Obama administration 2.0. So, you know, Biden gets up, he's announced, 800 million there, 400 million there. We are now up to 4 billion people. I mean, $4 billion, people. $4 billion as U.S. taxpayers, that's on our shoulders, to Ukraine right now. They are now shipping enough war armament that would be as equal to 5 brand-new full battalions of war arms, if that was people.
Yes.
Okay? $4 billion, and it's all gone Barney. Okay, this is a reference to Barney Rubble. It's all gone Barney Rubble. This country is
right.
In rubble, and we're paying $4 billion for what? It's rubble. This is what you and I said 2 weeks into this war. He doesn't care if he wins or loses. He wins no matter what because he's going to rubble the country. Nobody's going to want it. Who's going
right.
to go back to Who's going to afford to build the rubble? Is it going to be another $8 billion on our tax dollar? No wonder my refund is not as big as it would be under the Trump years.
Yes.
Look, they said like 4 million people have left. You people are full of shit on the news. 40 million people have left. They're gone. Puff. They're fucking, it's fairy dust. There are no people left. They either got murdered by Putin, murdered by the soldiers, or they walked across the border, not only into Poland, but Moldova. They walked into Belarus. They walked everywhere else. They swam across the Baltic Sea, for crying out loud. Are you kidding me? There's nobody left. Right? I mean, unfortunately,
I know, man.
Putin. Why are we going to pay any more money for the dead bodies that Putin already created? It's already done.
He's going to level the whole country of Ukraine. He's going to level every inch of it when he's done. He's gonna, and
right.
I said, he wants to rebuild it in the Russian image, people. And then he's going to bust
right.
in millions of Russians and Siberians to repopulate it. He started a brother war, and it's genocide against the Ukrainian people, their culture, and their language. They're screwed.
Right. It's done. And the only reason why he doesn't want to crush Kiev is because that's Putingrad, which is going to be equivalent to
that's
Stalingrad.
Right.
And let me tell you, we got big egos here in the United States. he did not launch that new intercontinental ability missile for our sake. He put that up in the air for Finland and Sweden. He's saying, fuck you guys. You want to join fucking NATO? I got rockets that are going to fucking kill. Helsinki is gone. You're fucking toast. It's not for us. It's for them joining NATO. He's wavering his saber saying, Finland, Sweden, back the fuck down. Norway, Sweden, just don't fucking join NATO. Don't do it. That's not for our sake. He doesn't give a fuck about us. We're not that close to him. You know what I mean? We're not.
So, I know.
That's that. Now, I want to answer Gunslinger's question. Who is running the business of the United States of America right now? This is not an administration. Biden never had an administration because he's not the president. When Obama was at the White House 2 weeks ago, I said this last week or 2 weeks ago, when Obama went to the White House, Kamala Harris announced him and gave him the podium, and Obama said, thank you, Vice President Harris. Thank you, Vice President Biden. And Biden saluted him. Okay?
Yes.
That guy knows he's not the president. He's a puppet that got put in by the Democratic operatives. But this administration, if you look this up, everybody, you know I love fun facts, right? So 73% of the Biden administration from the top down is the former Obama administration. That's who's running the country right now.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
not
right.
Not that clown that comes out for 5 minutes a day and then goes back and takes a nap. You know, Joe Biden walks him up to the bedroom at 4 p.m., puts him down, pats his head, goes out and probably has sex with the Secret Service, right? All right, so.
Right.
All right, third thing. On a happier note, in the United States of America, in a first-class seating area on a flight within the United States of America, former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson actually punched out a loud and insulting first-class passenger who was taunting Mike Tyson while the flight was airborne. Are you kidding me?
It's like yes, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Video's like incredible. Yeah. And the guy got what he effing deserved.
Right. So the scene in The Hangover is where he's doing the drum set, right, to the Phil Collins song, and then he knocks out Galifianakis, right? Well, I'll tell you, he did the same thing to that passenger. Funniest thing ever. Do not taunt the former heavyweight champion of the world who has been known to bite ears off of other former heavyweight champions of the world.
And lesser mortals. That's right.
Exactly.
I mean, you're picking a fight with the former heavyweight champion of the world. What do you fucking expect? I mean, the guy's going to come at you, people.
Right.
Jeez.
His
Think out there.
Line.
Get your head out of your ass.
I
that
love
guy
line,
got what was coming to him. No sympathy from the Roman court. No sympathy. No mercy on him at all. Feed him to the lions, I would say.
Yeah, so.
They got to eat sometime.
Don't go after the gladiator, right? But Mike Tyson had a famous line. Right? And I've used this in business before. He had a famous line. He said, you know what? Everybody's a tough guy and they always have a plan until they get punched in the face. And that's what that guy had. That guy thought he was a tough guy and then he got punched in the face by the former champ and knocked the flip out. I love it.
Great. That's the best story of the week. That and the Johnny Depp trial. I don't know about you folks. I've been following the Johnny Depp trial and Amber Heard. Love that trial. It's fascinating to hear about the Hollywood romance gone south. But, I mean, we will talk about that at a later date. But the testimony coming out is for this show. I mean, stuff like, I mean, her throwing empty vodka bottles at Johnny Depp's head. And then, you know, all their fights. And the text messages, I mean, it's awesome stuff. But go ahead, man.
Yeah. I've been watching it as well on Court TV every day, all day. And, you know, it's unbelievable, right? Because they both knew that their laundry was going to get aired, right? And, you know, here's Johnny writing text messages before he met her. I mean, not before he met her, before he married her. He's writing a text message to his friend, and he goes, I think she's a witch. And his friend goes, yeah, I think we should maybe burn her. She's a witch, right? And he goes, let's not burn her. Let's try drowning her first. Then we can burn her to make sure she's dead. But we have to first find out if she's a witch or not. I'm like, what the heck, dude? Listen, everybody, let me give you some advice, okay? Now, this might be Bachelor of the Galaxy advice, but we're going to say it tonight. And I told a good friend of mine in Tennessee just earlier today. I said, look, whenever I was talking to my ex-girlfriends, basically from like 2010 on, I would always say, let's go out to the backyard. You don't need your cell phone. Keep it on the kitchen table. Let's go sit outside of the patio. We'll have a nice discussion. We'll use our adult voices. We'll work it through. Because I always knew our cell phones can be taking video, audio. I never text message argued with any woman. And I would never call and leave a voicemail on a woman's cell phone either. They will take that information and use it against you 10, 15 years later. Never do it. Okay, because it's going to get used against you. Trust me. Okay, that's the way these cell phones are more powerful than the cameras that made movies in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. This can make a movie.
Right.
The little thing in your hand can make a 2-hour feature film make a movie like the 70s, 80s, and 90s look like crap. These women know how to use their phone. It's in their purse and pocket all day, all night. My cell phone's only on me when I call into the Von Weehunt show, when I call into the Bachelor Guide to the Galaxy. Either that, it's plugged in the kitchen. I'm 4 rooms away in my bedroom. I don't want that near my face. So these women
know they sleep
under their pillow, these women, you know?
I know, you're right. And on the next Bachelor show, we're going to be talking a lot about the Johnny Depp trial. So stay tuned, America. That's going to be a whole bunch of new material for that show. I mean, every day it just gets better and better and better. And I've always been a fan of Johnny Depp. I loved him in the movie Blow, especially. Great guy. And, you know, very interesting ascent to Hollywood. I love hearing about his early years, and we're going to talk about that later. But what are your final thoughts to America, Paul?
My last thought will be about this trial. Here's where the defense screwed up. There are 2/3 of this jury are young men who grew up on the Pirates of Caribbean movies, barely old enough to be jurors.
Yes.
The defense attorneys thought they would fall in love with Amber Heard, and she's not even that attractive. They're all in love with Johnny Depp because that's Jack Sparrow, and man, is he cool. He's doing coke and ecstasy, drinking, hanging out with Elton John, Marilyn Manson. These are his buddies. Like, they're going to vote for Johnny Depp 100%. And Amber Heard's going to
get... I would. He gets my vote.
Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious.
Hell yeah.
It's unbelievable. Can't make it up. Can't make it up, you know?
You're right, Paul. It is, man. And you're right. That's Jack frickin' Sparrow. I mean, he's made like 5 Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And they said his personal wealth at one time was like an astounding $600 million. Hard to believe, but they made so much money. I know every kid in America saw those movies, right?
What?
With the popcorn and the coke and the vending and all the merchandising. It was huge. The stuff coming out is fantastic.
Yeah, it's fodder for all of us in America. It takes our mind off of the destruction of Ukraine, you know?
Yes, it does. And that's what we really need, because Ukraine is just royally effed, you know, in more ways than one. And if you these people that are in Poland, Paul, they're going back across the border. They think the coast is clear. I'm going, how dense you have to be. It's a war zone. Putin won't let you go back to your condo or your flat in Lviv or, you know, wherever. I mean, it's gone. So these people need to stay in Poland and just settle there, or Germany, or come to America.
Yeah, Ukraine has been shrunk to a place called Kiev. It's only a city. The rest
right.
of it is rubble. Get out, leave, never go back. It's gone. You got nothing. You got nothing. Sorry.
That's
it
right.
is what it is at this point, though, you know? Sorry. Go take over a country in Africa, you know, farm it. You know, I mean, go repopulate somewhere else. You know, and the Biden administration is like, okay, we'll just take, you know, 20 million Ukrainians here. Wait a minute. We don't have a population problem here. There's too much traffic in every city in the United States right now. Why do we need 20 million Ukrainians?
Well, because now this is where I kind of agree with them. We need white Europeans to come over here to make it fair. See, we've been bringing in black and browns from the third world for 30, 40 years. We need 20 million white people to kind of keep the score now, see,
look,
to be
I'm
fair.
Okay with that, but we're talking a 6% population raise. Where are they going to live?
I know.
We don't have enough
Tell
houses
me.
Right now.
I have it all planned out. We're going to have a Ukrainian village in the Dakotas and Wyoming. They love the north. It's cold in the Ukraine. Put them right there. They are away from the major population centers. They'll start a brand new Ukrainian culture up there in the northern tundra. Perfect place to put them.
That's actually a decent idea. South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming.
South Dakota,
the new
Dakota and Wyoming. Put them right in there. That's a great place to put them. It's remote, and that area has got to get built up anyway. And they're the perfect people to do it. They're hardworking.
Ukraine.
They'll build it up for us.
Yeah, Ukraine 2.0.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they would love it. It looks like Ukraine. It's barren and desolate. It's good farmland. They can farm and ranch. And they will build that middle part of our country up into a thriving Ukrainian European community. I love it. I'd bring them all over and say they go to those three states, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, in that area, place them there, nowhere else.
Yeah.
Not LA, not New York, not Phoenix. No. If they come here, they got to stay there for 25 years. That's the deal.
Yeah.
I want a quarter century up there.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yep.
And we'll just breed white from the center out.
They would love it. And say, your own community, we're going to help you out. I would tell them, here is lumber. Here is material. Build Ukraine 2.0. Get to work. Do it. Help them out. Man, that place would be phenomenal. I want those ethnic Ukrainian villages, you know, make them beautiful. They're very good craftsmen. They're very good architects.
You know what they would do? And what we'll do is we'll tell them they have to guard the pipeline from the border all the way down to Oklahoma and Texas, because we're going to start pumping, flipping oil through it without the Biden-Obama administration's approval.
You damn right. I'll have those Ukrainians out there with rifles guarding that. Damn right.
That's right. Yep. That's not a bad idea. I like it. All right,
you
won me over on that one.
We'll talk again soon. You know it. The Gladiator, folks. Good night to Paul over there. We'll get to him, and let's get to Lincoln here. I want to squeeze in some more calls. Lincoln from Flyover Country. How are you doing tonight, man?
Hey, brother. How are you doing tonight? I enjoyed your your call there with Kevin quite a bit, man.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Kevin was great. And I appreciate you inviting him on the show and telling him about us. That's a great call. So he was very articulate young guy and very intelligent and a great caller.
Yeah, I've been following that guy back in before I got, like, you know, 30, 40 accounts banned on Facebook and Twitter and shit like that. I was following his Telegram and Facebook groups, things, or Twitter and Facebook groups and things. Great guy. I've been following him for years. He makes some really excellent memes. If you like memes, his channel is fantastic. He's a very skilled meme maker. He's a very skilled meme maker with propaganda, things like that, promoting nationalism. He's a great addition to your show. I've been sitting here chatting with him for a little while since he got off the phone with you. I was doing that while I was on hold with you. He's a great guy. He came in my Telegram chat. He's in there and shares some of his material in there and comes in the voice chat. Great guy to talk to, man. Excellent guy to talk to. The one thing I would like to point out, I don't have much for you tonight, honestly, man. It's going to be pretty short. You guys are talking about Western culture, Western civilization, things like that. As I said in your chat room there, in my opinion, and tell me if I'm wrong here, I think that multiculturalism is just code word for multiracialism. I think that culture is downstream from race. I think race dictates culture.
I agree. No, I totally agree with you. It always has, and it always will. Absolutely, you're right about that. And that's just the way it's been historically. They don't teach that, but they should. You know, culture is downstream from race, and race dictates the culture. And I would add, my caveat is, I would add race dictates the future of a nation. That's deep.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Dictates the future.
100%.
You bet it does. And it's okay for – yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, if you're in a major city and you have a Chinatown there, sure, they're in America, but are they dealing with Western civilization or what? No, they're in Chinatown. They're in a Chinese community with their fellow Chinese people. They live like Chinese people. If you go into the inner cities with the Africans, that's been overrun with the Africans. You go to downtown St. Louis or Chicago, Chicago. Detroit, Baltimore, just take your pick of one of the many places. They live like they live like Africans because they're Africans. If you go to San Antonio or some place that's completely overrun by, well, in your state, the Mexicans that come across, they live like Mexicans. It doesn't matter what country you're in. Crossing a border doesn't change your ethnicity. All it does is it gives you a piece of paper. That's all it does.
That's right, Lincoln. And I've talked about this before. I, as a young boy coming up through the ranks, you know, I used to kind of laugh and smirk, and my brain did not compute well when they go, "Oh, we're a multi." You had some Democrat teachers say, "We're a multicultural society, and we're a melting pot." And I never saw people melt into a pot. I saw exactly what you saw. I said, "Well, that's not what I see." Teacher went, whoa, 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 whoa. I go, no. When the Mexicans come over, like you said, they act like this is northern Mexico City. Los Angeles is Mexico City North, I've always said. When the Africans come over, they live like the Africans in the continent of Africa, which is normal. Chinese that move to L.A. or New York have little Chinatown, little Koreatowns, right? So they don't want to blend, okay? Other ethnicities in America, they want to stick to their own. I don't see many Navajos leaving the reservations. Why? Because they get a government check. They can hang out, and they can stay among their own people. And they don't have to work or blend in to whitey society. So this idea that only whites have to blend in and the other groups – come over here, and they get to stay in their own little cultural echo chambers, right? Never sat well with me. And so I don't believe all the BS that they teach. You know, they teach that stuff to placate the white European children, to be honest. They want to dumb them down. and make them feel guilty if they assimilate. So it's okay for the minorities to assimilate and have their culture, but the whites aren't allowed to group together or assimilate. They don't like that, do they?
Do you know who Lana Lochteff is from a media outlet called Red Ice TV?
Yes. I've seen her before. Mm-hmm.
She has a group. Oh, I'm a big fan of them. I really like them a lot. That's probably my favorite media outlet. Other than, of course, the Von Wehunt show. I'll play.
Yes. I watch them. They're really good. Yeah, very good show.
She gives a lot of really good she makes a lot of really good videos that are usually like anywhere from like 5 to 15 minutes long, but she makes a really good point. If you take a box of crayons, you have a white crayon, a black crayon, a brown crayon, a yellow crayon, a gray crayon. You have all these crayons. You throw them into a blender, what do you end up with? You end up with some ugly-ass blob that no one really cares about. What makes them all different and vibrant is that they're each their own color. The white is the white. The black is the black. The brown is the brown. The yellow is the yellow. They're each vibrant and different in their own way, and they each stand out in their own way. When you mix them all together into this one thing, you just end up with this gross blob that doesn't really accomplish anything. I think she makes videos like that, and I think they're very good. She breaks it down and explains it very, very well.
I like that. It's very true. I like cultural differences. People think, because I said, it really is true. I really do like each group having their own ethnicity, having their own culture, having their own language and customs and traditions. Love that. I have no problem with that at all. And the only thing that I've always said is that I wanted to have those traditions over in their country. I don't want every country to move over to the United States, right? We don't have a population problem here. We never have. And I've said it on this show a million times. And so white Europeans, we're also very distinct. But within our genre, there's the Irish, there's the Scots, there's the Germans, French, the Italians. You got the Poles, you've got the Danes, the Swedes. And each brings something to the table. And I like it. And that's the way the world was designed. So, and there's enough diversity alone within the white Europeans. See, we already got 25, 30 countries over there in Europe and UK and Australia. We don't need 100 countries on top of that for even more diversity. You know, they're killing us with wave after wave of diversity, killing the country.
We have all the diversity we need.
We've never survived with this much immigration. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
Well, we have all the diversity. We have all the diversity we need. We have blonde hair, black hair, gray hair, red hair. We have blue eyes, green eyes. We have all. We are the diverse race. Now, as I've mentioned before, we are the diverse people. We keep bitching about diversity as our. We need all these Africans and Hispanics there because we need diversity. We are the diverse people. They're not. I mean. Who's the last naturally blonde-headed or red-headed African you saw, or Hispanic you saw, or Asian you saw? When's the last time you saw one with green eyes? I mean, we are the diverse people. We have all the diversity we need.
That's right. And I tell people, too, and you know, I've talked about this on Telegram and elsewhere, I agree with everything that you're saying. America... was founded as a white European nation. It just was. It's not. And the Democrats are constantly talking about race, creed, culture, and skin color. And I tell people, Democrats every day talk about that. They're constantly bringing up race. It's okay to be racially aware. I mean, when I walk down the street, I am not colorblind. And I don't want to be. I see a black guy. I see an Asian guy. I see a Hispanic landscaper or whoever. I see a white girl, a white guy, whatever the case is. So I see color. I love color, and I see it. It's very disingenuous for the conservatives and the Republican Party say, oh, I don't see any color at all. I just judge people by the content of their character. Oh, my God. If I hear that again, I'm going to slap somebody. Come on. I mean, to me, this is where the Republicans lost their balls. It's fine. It's okay. Whites have got to get over this complex that they put over on you. Just admit and say to their face, I see color everywhere. I like color. I like to look at color. You know, it's okay to be racially aware. You need to be racially aware because if you are around other races that want to kill you, like I've told people before, get the hell out of that predicament and move around your own people, whoever they are, right? So, you know, these people are funny about these racial things on the Republican side. Democrats will tell you every day, we look at race, we talk about race, and I'm going, well, if you can, then we can. So how about those apples? What are your thoughts?
Republicans are horrible about that, too. You and Kevin were talking about Sheriff Joe Arpaio there in Arizona.
Right.
Isn't it funny that a lot of the Republicans have distanced themselves from him? And who does Turning Point USA prop up? Is it Sheriff Joe? Nope. It's not Sheriff Joe they
nope.
prop up. It's that Sheriff Clark from Wisconsin or Minnesota or whatever. I think it's Wisconsin. And why is that? Is he better than Sheriff Joe? Is he more American than Sheriff Joe? Is he more pro-American than Sheriff Joe? Is he? No, he's black, though. So they got to trot him out there.
That's the only reason why.
If he was a white guy, you would not see him on Turning Point USA. He would just be another fucking white guy.
Right.
But since he's black, he's special. We got to trot him out there as our token to prove that we're not racist.
Exactly. Well, that group and others like it were so afraid of offending the leftist media, and they got a lot of young, gullible college kids that were afraid of their own shadow, and they suck them up in those groups. That's why I used to sit here and kind of smirk at a lot of these groups and that were, you know, in the campaign trail back in 2015, a lot of young kids. Now, I've got a few years on them, and like that Farmers commercial, I know a thing or two about politics. I know a thing or two. And I can tell you through my experience and yours too, because I'm not, you know, a 15-year-old impressionable high school kid who's going to join Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk or anything.
I call it Turning Point USA.
You would call what?
I call it Turning Gay USA.
Right. Well, thing is a lot of young kids get sucked into those groups and, you know, they have to unlearn some of the things that they're taught because some of the things they're taught aren't really based in reality. And, you know, as they get more intel, more wisdom, some more years, some more seasoning in their 20s and 30s, I always say, you know, the light bulb will come on, okay? So this is a silly country, and a lot of the whites have been cowed and dumbed down, but the whites are waking up big time, and it's okay to wake up. It's okay to be racially aware. Nothing wrong with that. We treat everybody great as long as they're cool to us. I'm cool to them. I think most people are like that. I don't go out of my way. I don't really care if they're purple, black, or blue. But I will say it's very obvious. I mean, any layman can tell you that our government's trying desperately to blacken and brown the country. I mean, that's just common sense. They're bringing in everybody from the third world who wants to come over here. So they have an agenda, and the agenda is to water down the white Europeans as fast as possible. So to me, it's very fair and objective to say that because it's true. You know, I actually fell out of my chair, Lincoln, and was very surprised when Biden said he wanted to bring over the Ukrainians. Because really, he took some heat from that. Because that really flies in the face of the UN and the DNC, because they're all white European people. So I was very surprised if we even bring them over, really and truly. But I guess we're going to bring over 100,000, but I would bring over 20 million of them and put them all in the Midwest.
Wow.
And that's another thing.
Well,
any people that
will
come over here from any country, I would give them states that we need population. I would not have them all in Texas or L.A., even the Mexicans. Say, nope, if you come over, you got to live in maybe Nebraska or, you know, some other state than Dallas or Houston. We have enough Hispanics in Texas. We have enough Hispanics in Los Angeles.
Let's think about that for a second. Let's back up.
I know what you're going to say.
Think about that. Do I think we're going to bring over Ukrainians? Yeah, I think we'll bring over a lot of Ukrainians. Do you know how many Africans and Jews consider themselves Ukrainians just because they live there?
Well, nothing's ever perfect in life, I'll say that. But I know what you're talking about. But the vast majority, let's say 99%, 98%, are not going to – they're going to be actually the ethnic Ukrainian people from Ukraine. You're always going to have some mishaps, but I'm just saying, you know what? We're bringing everybody else. Why not them? So now we're discriminating against the white people in Ukraine, and we're going to bring in all the browns and blacks from the third world. That's really what we're doing in that case if we don't bring them over. So that's why I'm being a little facetious when I say we have to be fair about it. And reunite those families, Lincoln. Got to reunite the families.
We don't bring over the South African. We don't bring over the South African Boers that are being murdered on the farms, raped, brutally murdered, destroyed.
I would. I would if I had the power. I'd bring them all over. I'd bring them all over.
They can tell you some horror stories about that. What's going on there? It's just,
I agree.
Crazy.
I totally agree. Yeah, the Boers in South Africa are being attacked daily by the Marxist black mobs. And they are Marxist black mobs. Marxism is alive and well in Africa. The communists have really a toehold on that continent. And Nelson Mandela was a communist. And they're taking over South Africa bit by bit. They want all those white farms, and they're going to burn them out. Yep.
Martin Luther King was a communist as well.
Yes. Yes, he was. And that was candy-coated over because they didn't want the American people to know that. Nixon knew that. Nixon called him out. Our media covered it well. We're a silly country. America is a silly country. We're not a serious country about a lot of things. We talk a big, big game, but we're really not a serious country. We have no borders. We're the only country that refuses to put the military on the border. We have some weird law, some archaic law that they bring up every time, and they, we can't do that because of some law or some policy. Well, screw that. I mean, every other country in the world puts the military and tanks and their army on the border. Except America. That is really effed up. But what are your final thoughts, Lincoln?
Nothing
floor
else.
Is yours,
I
man.
Said way more than that. The call already went a different direction than what I I didn't really plan to say much. I had a pretty quick, easy call, I thought. And, like, you have this ability to just keep the conversation flowing. And, anyway, I thought Kevin was a great call tonight. The last thing I'll say is, you're talking about Alex Jones there. I got to tell you, man, Alex Jones kind of loses me with his, he loses me a lot. I was a big Alex Jones fan for years, and I had to escape him when he talks about how the Federal Reserve has always been owned by Muslims. No, I can guarantee you, if you look it up, Just go back to 1917, the foundation of the Federal Reserve. Every single chairman of the Federal Reserve throughout the history of the Federal Reserve has all been controlled by a Jew, not a Muslim. I don't know where he gets this thing about how the Federal Reserve is owned by Muslims.
You
it's not owned
that.
By
that
Muslims.
Was strange.
It's never been owned by Muslims.
I agree with you. I don't know where he got that. That's weird. I think he's having too much legal stress with all those lawsuits. It's getting into his brain, maybe. I don't know, but I heard the same thing. Yeah, you're right.
I also don't like the fact that he's going around now. He's been doing this in the last week. He's been taking photo ops with Blair White. Blair White is an open, quote, transgender. So basically sitting on his lap, like a mentally ill fag sitting on his lap with their thumbs up. I don't know where he's going with that whole angle, but he's losing a lot of people that were in support of pushing that garbage.
I know, man. Yeah, it's, you know, I give a long leash on Alex Jones because he's had such a good show and good programming for years, but he goes off the deep end on some things. But I saw that too. Pretty funny. Bizarre, man. It's just bizarro world, isn't it? Every day. Well, Lincoln, thanks a lot, man. We will talk again soon. I guarantee it, man. Have a great night. Good talking to you, man.
Hey, hell victory, brother.
Hell victory, brother. That's right. Damn right. Well, we got the Irish Pirate, and as the other call dropped off. We'll get to him in a moment here. End out the show. Normally one of his usual spots on the show, but we got to break it up a little bit. I'm a very big believer in breaking up on the radio. So we're in overtime now, which is good. But it's time for a little promo. Sounds like America could be on the brink of nuclear war. Hopefully not. Maybe the Satan 2 missile by Putin is for Ukraine and NATO. He has fantasies of blowing them up to smithereens. But we know deep down in the crevices of Vladimir's mind, he secretly wants to attack America. Well, if he did, it would sound
Mr.
like
President,
this.
One or two points I'd like to make, if I may.
Go ahead, General.
One, our hopes for recalling the 843rd bombwing are quickly being reduced to a very low order of probability.
Two, in less than 15 minutes from now, the Ruskies will be making radar contact with the planes. Three, when they do, they are going to go absolutely ape, and they're going to strike back with everything they got. Four, if prior to this time we have done nothing further to suppress their retaliatory capabilities, we will suffer virtual annihilation. Five, if, on the other hand, we were to immediately launch an all-out and coordinated attack on all their airfields and missile bases, we'd stand a damn good chance of catching them with their pants down. Hell, we got a 5-to-1 missile superiority as it is. We could easily assign 3 missiles to every target and still have a very effective reserve force for any other contingency. Six, an unofficial study which we undertook of this eventuality indicated that we would destroy 90% of their nuclear capabilities. We would therefore prevail and suffer only modest and acceptable civilian casualties from the remaining force, which would be badly damaged and uncoordinated.
General, it is the avowed policy of our country never to strike first with nuclear weapons.
Well, Mr. President, I would say that General Ripper has already invalidated that policy.
That was not an act of national policy, and there are still alternatives left open to us.
Mr. President, we are rapidly approaching a moment of truth, both for ourselves as human beings and for the life of our nation. Now, truth is not always a pleasant thing. But it is necessary now to make a choice, to choose between two admittedly regrettable, but nevertheless distinguishable post-war environments. One where you got 20 million people killed, and the other where you got 150 million people killed.
You're talking about mass murder, General, not war.
Mr. President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed, but I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops, depending on the breaks.
I will not go down in history as the greatest mass murderer since Adolf Hitler.
Perhaps it might be better, Mr. President, if you were more concerned with the American people than with your image in the history books.
General Turgeson, I think I've heard quite sufficient from you. Thank you very much.
And that's how it went down the bowels of the Pentagon this week. With that, let's get to Irish Pirate, who's been waiting in the wings on our last segment here of the show. Hello, Mr. Pirates. We're still chopping at the bit for some fun packs this month or next, so we'll look forward to those. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I've been under siege. All my bank accounts got hit. Yeah, I had to deal with that this week. Moved everything to safekeeping. They didn't get nothing from me. But
I got your messages on all that stuff. Amazing.
Yeah, amazing how you got to be slick to be able to stay away from things, and certainly not trust the AI. I mean, whenever you can, stay away from their solutions for things, which is probably when we're talking about Putin and whatnot. I recommend very highly, since nobody brought it up, as they usually don't. They usually go establishment anti-Putin, which I'm not pro-Putin, but I'm certainly just as apathetic because, like you, I hate both of them.
Right.
But I do agree that I do agree that Ukraine used to be a great nation until 2014. And that's when Soros came in and overthrew a bona fide elected official that the people loved. At least for the time being, anyway. Yeah. And so I think Zelensky is far worse than Putin, unfortunately, because he's had very, very little time to completely destroy that country. And maybe it was more beautiful than I know it. I will admit, when I was in the military, I didn't look that much on the eastern side of Russia and Ukraine and all that. I was in Scotland at the time. We were looking at the western side more. And and Putin was not in charge back then either, but he was on his way up the ranks. And so I understand that kind of Russia, no, you can't trust him. But in general, despite the fact they started a brother war, they have been operating pretty much under Geneva Convention, unlike Ukraine, which has thrown all the rules out the window, doing awful things to the troops, doing things like, you know, doing awful things to their genitalia and then calling their mothers on the cell phones they were carrying, saying, "I killed your son," and laughing about it. I mean, that just doesn't happen anywhere else in the world, really, unless someone from, say, the Western world, like the United States, secretly overthrows your government, and then suddenly the people that are there don't have any moral values whatsoever. And that's what I see, is only people – and here is the problem inherent. I have figured this out. I am not a nationalist. I'm an Americanist. I believe that government should be a little weaker unless – we actually follow the law. And you can always tell if the law is too strong or too weak by whether or not people just get away with breaking the law and laugh at it, or whether or not they actually have to take their enemies and fake something so that they fall for it if the law is too strong. Obviously, it's the former, that we have laws out there, they don't mean anything. The laws would mean something if we actually... And we then could go nationalist if we wanted to. But here's the problem. Everybody's crying for strong law enforcement. Are you sure you want strong law enforcement when your laws suck? I think so. I think we need better laws. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, we need to enforce them. And, yeah, we're not enforcing laws on the books, and that creates even more bad laws. And so it's, you know, you got to start somewhere. Are you sure you want a nationalist government? No. Are you sure you want a strong law enforcement? No. Are you sure you want to elect good people like Joe Arpaio? Damn straight. That's it. When I first came here 17 years ago, I said, thank God, I'm coming to Arizona on my own accord, and I'm landing right in Joe Arpaio's lap. He's going to be able to work with me. Sure enough, within 10 years later, some situations happened between myself and law enforcement. Wish I could say peace officer, but I can't. Law enforcement did recognize me. I was amazed. I was on the A-list. I've never been on the A-list. They're not supposed to be an A-list with cops, but they're breaking the rules too. But at least they're helping me this time. And so I have to say, I like it here. I think there's a chance here because they know me and I know them, which is very much like culture. I don't know about race, but it's certainly a culture that I really appreciate. And it's in this culture that I learned to teach chess to children professionally, even in the morning, create my own tournaments. I brought them from with me. And by the way, on May 3rd at one particular school, I'm going to do that. And I have never seen so much interest all of a sudden Everybody loves me. I used to fight with my school district. I beat their ass so often, they love me now. And anybody
nice.
Else is either trying to, either they've capitulated, they've tried to hire me, or they are dead. I've completely beat all my competition. And what's sad is, it's not good enough for me. It's not what I wanted. I didn't say, oh, I'll beat all these people at their own game. I was begging for people to get it right. In other words, I don't want stronger in law enforcement. I want people to suggest better laws, like I have since I've been here in 17 years. You've even put some of them on the show that I've recommended, you know, especially
yes.
dealing with things like mask mandates. And so where is the ideas? Where is the desire to stand up and debate and say, look, you may have a better solution, but I've got one. If you can beat this, go ahead. And so I think the war of ideas, Mike Adams is going to put out a book very soon called The Contagious Mind, if he hasn't done so already. And I strongly advocate that type of thinking. I'm going to do the right thing. I hope it washes off on you. I know I'm a Christian. It basically says in the Bible that when you're a Christian, you're living in a fishbowl and everybody's watching. Suggestion, don't come out of the water. Could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is that you got to stand by the principles that you know. I am a principled individual long before I'm anything else. I'm a Myers-Briggs TP. They live and actually die with principle. Even worse,
mm-hmm.
I'm what you call a maniac week October baby. That's between October 4 and October 13. And those live by principle.
Mm-hmm.
They find a principle to live by, and that's it. So, yeah, not everybody
right.
can think and act and do like me, but I wish they would, because I've got it down. And unfortunately, the rest of the world does not have it, and I can only work outward from my own bedroom. I can't save the world. Heck, I think I barely made it past the dining room at this point. But if I can make it out to the neighborhood, I know my neighborhood will be a better place. And so all I'll do is I will take a stand. God didn't say pick up a weapon and fight for me. He said stand. He said, you know, just honor my name, honor my
right.
principles, honor the situation that I've been placed into. Because Jesus
mm-hmm.
rode in on a donkey, and they waved palm fronds and did all sorts of yay things for him. And those very same people, not too long later, were saying, crucify him. I mean, same people, different set of
right.
standards. Yeah, I'm not going to drop my standards. I know what happens when that happens. I'm going to stand with Jesus. I'm going to stand with America. I'm going to stand for the talk time that we get on the Von Wehunt show. Really important. I try to get this in a minute, say with Bill Brady, who actually honored on this is on KFNX, the local 50,000 water. He actually honored the latest Supreme Court nominee that's soft on pedophiles. I mean, give me a break. He couldn't figure that out. He could not
right.
figure that out. And
I agree,
if
man.
My phone wasn't down,
crazy.
I might have lost it. So yeah, you got to
right.
you got to take a stand, and when you do, don't worry, you'll be visible. You don't have to deliberately put on an air. And so, Kevin, yeah, I hope you get Joe Arpaio nominated. I love Fountain Hills. I don't have any business over there anymore. I occasionally, maybe once every 6 months, travel over there. I reminisce a little bit. I can walk into the one K-3 school they've got. There's 11 chess trophies in there. And I am the coach that was responsible for all of them, but it was the children that won them, not me. They were the ones that pulled the miracles, and I love them. They've gone off to other states, some of those kids, and I'm good with that. You
right.
got to touch them while you can. When they're near you is when you got to reach people.
Right.
One of them's coming back for this tournament. He's been gone. He's gotten a master's degree in philosophy, went to ASU for law rather than chase a doctorate. He knew he needed to make some money
mm-hmm.
and get out of philosophy. So he's done that. And
awesome.
He's going to show up at my tournament. He's actually gung-ho for
awesome.
It. Why? Because he was
I'm
one
Trish,
of the guys I used to do private lessons with.
Like you the tournament. Yeah, man. Congrats on the tournament. We're up against the clock here. We will talk again soon, amigo. And I know you will kick ass and take names on that tournament. Irish,
I'll lose about 5
we will
pounds
talk to you again
on.
Soon.
I'll lose about 5 pounds. Yeah, last thing I'll say about that, losses don't count. It's free, but only the people in the school can attend it. So don't try to come in there unless you want to see perfection. And we'll catch you on the
nice.
Flip side.
You got it. Irish Pirate, folks. Thank you very much, Irish. You have a great night. And that's our tech wizard. He's full of techno wizardry and brings in a lot of good promos for the show. We really do appreciate that. Folks, we've had a packed show tonight, and we're in serious overtime here, but that's okay, because I always make accommodations as your illustrious host. I will end you with this. America, with a K for effect, and its military now prides itself, quote-unquote, on our woke transgender gay bathrooms on our military bases. Unfortunately, we are far, far too busy giving our great soldiers free taxpayer-funded sex change operations than care one iota about the nation's real security. As Edward Newman said of Mad Magazine, what? Me worry? But the U.S. military is so far ahead of Russia in gender studies. That's sarcasm for those in Apache Junction. And they are getting ready for another Democrat no-win war over in the Ukraine and Europa. And your children can be their secret society, satanic ritual sacrifice, thrown into the meat grinder of battle as the elite sons and daughters of Congress and our Roman Senate. I guarantee you, they will never see or go to war. You've been listening to The Von Wien Show, the best callers in the biz. We had Kevin from Nationalist United, a lot of other good callers tonight. You've heard a little bit of this, some current events, some geopolitics, some history, some conjecture, some opinion. That's what a radio variety show will do. Hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend. He has risen. Easter should be all year long. Now we'll leave you with a song entitled, I Am the Resurrection.
If you believe, then you